have that as continuing in this particular.
The merits of it were not being addressed when we did this. It was just if you were going to create that department and leave this statute as it is, you had to make those changes.
However, since it's enacted, if this were to pass, it would be enacted after the act, and so it might have.
That would likely raise some serious effects on the act.
I was thinking that. We don't have a labor relations.
There is a labor relations.
Where am I missing?
It's not specifically spoken to.
Line 18?
Except for its creation. Page 1, line 18 creates it.
Where is it?
Page 1.
Oh.
Line 18. Just creates the division. The duties, let me explain that I worked with Jim McKenzie, who drafted it, who was also my husband. And we didn't try to define the duties of the separate three divisions that were created, except for making changes in existing law, which referred to the personnel division, which has much more statutory authority than the labor relations side of that division at this point, a specific reference to the statutes. And so all that's done here, I think, on the duties of the department were to take the kinds of things that the Division of Personnel and Labor Relations does now and some statement of what the EEO division does now and list them all. I think you might want to scrutinize those because I wasn't clear about the kinds of language you want there, so we just put something together to give some indication. The rest of what's here, I think, is primarily going through the statutes and substituting the Department of Employee Relations for the Department of Administration. And as Pat Murphy has pointed out, there may be some problems doing that since the existing statutes had never been amended to reflect the creation of collective bargaining with public employees. And so if you reenact the with this change of the title of the person responsible, you may also then be making them apply in the collective bargaining field in a way that you don't need to.
John?
Yeah, I'd also like to see the bill speak directly to Division of Labor Relations and a labor relations agency. I think we it seems to me in the discussion we went through all that part about the labor relations agency.
Yeah,
and
John, what I want to suggest to you is that a labor relations agency
spoken to in 23
is supposed to be the referee between this agency and the representatives of the employees, and it may be inappropriate to place it within this department to state hierarchy.
Yeah, that's true. It's in 23 also. Let me
say one thing we considered when we were putting this together that Jim and I talked about and then going through some of these other state laws, that Hawaii is one of the other states that we look at, and they have an employee relations board that is set up within the Department of Labor for budgetary purposes. They don't call it the Department of Labor there, but it is. For budgetary purposes, which is their labor relations agency there. Okay. We discussed whether or not we've been directed to provide for a new labor relations board. I felt like maybe we ought to put it in, but wasn't too sure. And so we ended up leaving it out with making as few changes as possible. We, of course, have a labor relations agency now, you know how that works. So it would be fairly easy to create this new labor relations agency if the subcommittee wants to. I'm not sure where you would want to put it. Put it in labor as in Hawaii or whatever, and let the personnel board carry on with its other duties with respect to personnel rules and its functions as three of the five members of the retirement board, and then create a new board, or whether you want to change its name and make some other provision for those other functions. That could be done.
Well, I guess
we didn't really have direction along those lines, and so we tended toward just creating the department and not making changes without specific direction to do so. But it certainly is possible. It's not incompatible with what we've got here.
Yeah, I really, I recognize that. I just think they need to be addressed. The retirement board, the personnel board, and the labor relations agency is three separate entities. They've got three distinct, you know, jobs, and I think we've been carrying on with this little situation of having them do way too much and overlap too much for quite a long time. I think it's important that we go ahead and that this committee go ahead and make those distinctions. That's part of the problem when you get into the whole thing of collective bargaining and merit system. You know, we need to delineate out what is directly related to collective bargaining, like the labor relations agency, and get that over there on its own, you know. And we need to have the personnel board over here on its own and dealing with the aspects of the merit system that we talked about the last time. And then retirement board needs to get away from that, both of them, and just be responsible for that retirement system situation completely. That's the way I feel about it. And then have another time.
My main interest, Mr. Chairman, in this whole thing, of course, is to get the department staff.
Yeah, I know.
And to the extent that we disrupt any more lives than we have to with the thing and engender any more animosity and opposition from anywhere, then I'm opposed to any kind of change to do that, because to my mind, it's just of paramount importance to get done in the concern. I have no objection to discussing all sorts of alternatives. In my mind, the state has enough work for these kinds of people where they could be full-time paid people. I don't necessarily agree that they would have to split it up as you suggested, three jobs. I think it's a lot for a volunteer group to take on all three of those tasks and devote the time that's required to study it and to actually do it without any compensation. I've never been really that unhappy with the people who are there in terms of their dedication and their willingness to try and so forth, but I do despair sometimes about the time of this interaction.
Okay.
I think in this committee, I don't think we're going to get all the work done, and one of the items we're going to take up is that retirement board, personnel board, labor relations agency, and those kinds of reforms. If this bill is going to go, it really needs to be voted on. I'll have to talk to John, but I think with one change, we can support it. And I would just assume see what reaction or where we get a bill out and see where we go with it. This is one area that cuts across most lines, management, labor, and most people seem to support the idea that what you have is you have one of six divisions in the Department of Administration, and now someone who didn't seem to be able to handle his own employee relations in his own small division is now going to be commissioner and subject to it all. So I think that we really need to, you know, this is important, and I think everybody who deals with it agrees that we should support a separate department. So.
Well, I might ask Pat, what is the one change?
The one change is
on page 4 and 5. What this does
this, what was taken, as Terry said, was the old language, which was drafted in 1961 when the State Personnel Act was promulgated, and it gave the Director of Personnel certain powers to move positions from the exempt to the classified and vice versa. Okay, in 1972 we have a Collective Bargaining Act. Right now, a position, you know, we contest the fact that anybody can take a position, for example, a deputy director position, because somebody thinks that it involves principal responsibility for determination of policy or some other reason and move it to a partially exempt service. You know, only the Labor Relations Agency, as far as I'm concerned, can do that. And so to enact this language, first you had the 1960 or 61 legislation, then you have the Collective Bargaining Act and the 5 years of experience under that act. But if you were to superimpose 1979 legislation on top of that, it might well be that the director could make those determinations. So I would oppose that part of this bill. Other than that, I just from the initial reading, I favor it.
You're talking about A and 4.
Section 10.
That should be deleted. It doesn't have any meaning under what actually.
What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, there is a need to, for the reasons enumerated here, to put jobs in partially exempt service from time to time. Now, there are a lot of ways to do that. This is a straightforward way, and it requires justification based on these factors, or it doesn't happen. There are other ways to do it, and one of them would be to simply abolish the position. The guy doesn't work here anymore, and you create a new one in the office of the government.
Well, we're about to take on that. We're about to find out whether that can be done on this delete, establish, or establish, delete type of action that's being done in personnel and OMB. So, I honestly feel that the Labor Relations Agency is going to rule that this is clear and simple bargaining and transfer. I mean, they may or may not, but I think they are. And so, you know, I don't think it can be done. And I couldn't support this bill coming out with that language on it. If you want to say except where collective bargaining units are involved, the director of personnel shall have the power to, some language like that, well then it's okay.
Well, maybe that's, let's see, the personnel board upon written recommendation of employee relations.
Any position?
Provided, however, removal of a position from a bargaining unit subject to the approval of the Labor Relations Agency. Is that what we're?
Well, it's subject to the provisions as set out in 2340.090, which is the provision where the Labor Relations Agency determines appropriate bargaining units. That's provided in 2340.090.
Do you think some kind of simple insertion like that would satisfy your
concern?
That
would leave the power within the department or that division to do. Except, you know, it could read except as provided in 2340.090 after June 30th, 1979.
But then what are you talking about? You're talking about a half dozen positions in the state. When you say was in the classified service on June 30th, if there's only like a half dozen positions in the classified service not covered by collective bargaining. So what's the need for that for a half dozen people? You know, I mean, that obviously was not the point originally in the language.
Well, clearly in 1960 they didn't have collective.
No, but that's the reason I'm saying, yeah. And that's the reason I'm saying this language seems to me to be completely outdated. Because there's only, like I said, about a half dozen people who are in the classified service who are not covered by collective bargaining.
You know, I would.
I would just delete it.
I mean, this was definitely
Well, let's see, Chip. What about that opinion?
Well, I don't know how this is really going to come down. Now, there's other legislation in, and sooner or later, other legislation will pass as far as collective bargaining is concerned.
You're talking about the supervisor, the redefinition of the employee?
It may not be this year, but it will pass.
Which will include another 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Let me suggest this in the interest of promoting equitable compromise. There's, if the language, I mean, we use plenty of paper every year, and if the section only applies to half a dozen people, and that's the only objection, why don't we go with that? If y'all can agree, you know, we put in Pat's exception, except it's provided in 2340090, and somebody might criticize it from a technical point of view because it used a whole section to just cover 6 people, but if that satisfies our concerns, then I suggest that we do that and roll.
I agree.
You're sure that I'll catch you there?
If I read that.
Depending on.
Well, besides, it's got a long ways to travel.
Oh, I know.
When you update the thing with what we know today, it's a lot different than what we know today.
Is there a problem with section 11, which begins on page 5, line 4, with the Commissioner of Employee Relations being able to take a position out of the partially exempt service and put it into classified service?
Subsection C?
Why would we object to that?
You don't have any union positions in the partially exempt service?
No, and we would be happy to accept positions, but he can have that authority.
No problem.
Once again,
if you didn't
union as a court system, it would be a problem.
So you want to make it as except as provided there?
Yeah, we better.
Court system is exempt, not partially exempt.
Oh, that's right. They're exempt. They're not partially exempt.
Actually, that power to do that is not within the Labor Relations Agency's hands, because the management or the commissioner could take a position and move it from the exempt to partially exempt service into the classified service, and that's within his power. And we have nothing to say about it, and neither does the Labor Relations Agency, because they have no reason to have anything to say about it. They don't care whether someone is moved from the exempt or partially exempt into the classified service.
And that does happen.
Yeah, it happens. But really, no one would contest that.
At one point, the whole Pioneer Home was in the office of the government. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. I wish they could have
that. Another topic that might want to consider, and that is that some qualification be written into this particular bill for the commissioner of the department. Have some familiarity perhaps with something related to personal management or labor relations.
Substantial
experience in labor relations.
Yeah, it doesn't say personnel.
Where is that?
It just says it's on section 1. I mean, section 44.22.010.
Yeah.
On page 1. Second sentence, the commissioner.
Oh, substantial experience, yeah.
You want to add something on personnel?
Well, I worry a little bit that now you're going to get a
labor hand,
lead man, section hand of some kind.
I would agree with you. I think that's important.
Yeah, I think it really is.
It's frightfully important.
I think we might get a private sector labor person, and that's not going to happen if you have personnel qualifications in there. So substantial experience in personnel and labor relations.
Yeah, I guess.
Personnel administration.
Presently, the statute calls out 3 years.
Well, then that's probably.
Well, how about a?
That is for the director of personnel, not for the commissioner.
Yeah. Right. And the language I had from my minutes said substantial experience, so I didn't suggest any year provision, but. That kind of change, if you want to.
or just that personnel?
Leave that pretty much to the rest of you guys, that's yours. I do think so, thank you.
I may be going overboard.
Getting into the case.
On this, but I, quite frankly, I think of three things here. And I don't think it's, although I'm not acquainted with the board process or what it is for the Commissioner of Education, of Fish and Game, I think it's three steps, and one is a minimal amount of specified experience. And as Wisconsin, I believe, does, the personnel board or somebody presents a nominated list to the governor from which he selects, which is the second consideration I'm giving to it. And the third consideration is, it'd be for a fixed term.
You know, I would like to see all.
I forgot political party affiliation.
Yeah, I think I think that of all the commissioner positions, that should be not subject to political reward for having, you know, your wife having helped on the campaign. But, you know, I definitely think that.
What do you think about the confirmation process, for this commission? What is the confirmation process?
You mean, should there be one?
There is.
There is, there would be.
You mean, there shouldn't be, or are you saying not to have it?
I'm just asking.
Don't even.
Yeah, that won't pass the legislature.
No. But I think your idea that a list of candidates from the personnel board wouldn't be a bad idea at all.
Well, but the personnel board is appointed by the governor.
Yeah, then we get back to that, you're right.
I don't think, you know, and those are.
How about a list of candidates from labor relations agency?
I mean, almost any organization that you, or board or commission that you talk about is gonna be appointed by some governor. But like, if we take our existing personnel board, I think probably that's not an uncommon type situation now. And is it, I doubt that Governor Hammond has appointed more than one of those, if that's true.
One
of the three. So, I mean, I think, you know, on that kind of a board, you would tend to find that it would extend past terms of the governor. I don't know.
The Wisconsin folks,
hard to tell something.
For the administrator of the Division of Merit Employment, have a screening panel of the chairperson of the Personnel Advisory Council, of the Equal Rights Council, the Speaker of the Assembly, the President Pro Tem of the Senate, President of the League of Women Voters, and Chairperson of Personnel Management Council.
Is that the Minister of Management?
The Minister of Management.
They have had my experience with that.
Wisconsin was Dennis Dreesen, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, we'll pass it.
Might as well put that on the general election.
Yeah. So much for that dog and pony show.
One thing that occurs to me, Mr. Chairman, and I'm not sure that's practical, is that personnel counsel might make a list of counsel being the personnel officers of all the departments and the people who head sections in our division, might make some proposals to the personnel board from which they could make selection and send a refined list onto the governor, something like that. But
I think that maybe we could, maybe as far as trying to, you know, getting back to your point, which you were saying to me, I probably ought to say to you the same thing, that probably the least complicated we get, the better chance.
I agree.
Adding in there the language of the three, you know, the personnel experience, personnel administration experience is probably where we ought to go at this point.
Why make the governor have to go twist all those arms?
Right, because
that's semi-facetious, but I think I tend to agree with John that if we don't get it too elaborate, maybe it's happening.
Why can't we just have experience, a certain number of years of experience?
I would tend to favor that personally.
We'll buy that. Let's say a minimum of 3 years experience in personnel administration.
Add and labor relations.
And labor relations.
That requires both, it's not and or, that requires...
Should be and, both, yeah.
If the person's got labor relations experience, they're going to have personnel experience. You can't get it without it, but the other way around isn't necessarily true.
You have personnel and not...
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
How about experience in both personnel and labor relations with an aggregate of 5 years?
That'd be okay.
Except that doesn't answer Pat's point, that if you have a 5-year personnel experience, you may not know anything about labor relations.
No, but I said substantial experience, or experience in both personnel and labor relations with an aggregate number of years of fine.
I think 5 years.
You've got to have some.
You think you know more than you do, but the more experienced you are.
Have some in both and a total of fine.
Some experience in both labor relations and, or in both personnel.
You don't need to say some, but...
Okay. Have experience in both personnel administration and labor relations, either in the public or private sector, comma, totaling at least 5 years.
Can I ask a question? Would somebody define for me now what they mean by personnel administration? Is a personnel officer experienced in personnel administration?
Yeah.
Someone that hires and fires for any reason experienced in personnel administration? I think you've got yourself a situation where you're going to buy out of state every time.
Well, maybe...
What's new?
Maybe, yeah, I mean, when you say, like some people, like every negotiations, there's usually a deputy commissioner or someone who's sitting on the negotiating team, and they sit there for 3 months, and I don't know what they do, but they just sit there for 3 months, and that could be claimed as labor relations experience. We may want to say 4 years of full time labor relations and personnel experience.
Or labor relations, not certain things they must meet but not limited to, such as negotiations, arbitration, blah, blah, blah.
Full time. Yeah. Otherwise, you can.
And the personnel officer sat in on 2 negotiation sessions.
Well, yeah, that happens.
And that isn't what
we want. You know, the personnel function is obviously
sure.
important in this state. I think, though, that the labor relations function has become more important. And so you just, it's a different ballgame, and you need somebody who really has both, but you would
industrial
definitely...
Relations,
you would,
broad term and private sector, industrial relations is what we're really talking about here. I mean,
the department divisions that are set up again are limited to labor personnel and EDO.
There is a general authority for the commissioner to establish other divisions, so we didn't make specific reference to that.
Mr. Chairman, it'd be my view, I believe, that if we were sure that we're getting personal full-time experience, that 4 or 5 years, either of those figures, of aggregate experience,
full-time experience.
Right. And labor relations and personnel would be a hell of a lot better than we're going to do without it.
I think we're going to have considerable difficulty putting a real fine point on those requirements in the statute, and maybe some sort of broad brush approach, like the word full time would be suggestive of what we want, and really I think you're going to have difficulty getting much beyond that.
That's what he's got.
Let's see what we have here. Have not less than 5 years of employee relations experience at an administrative level which included substantial labor relations responsibilities.
Well, you know, when you're thinking, I get the feeling that we're thinking in terms, at least on that, of having it in the bureaucracy.
It would be possible that you may want somebody who's a, who, there are a lot of people who are private consultants or that, who are pros at this, and they may have gained it through a law firm or as a consultant or whatever. And so you wouldn't want to be it as a, as an administrative person within the bureaucracy. So
I think I would pay in favor maybe just the full time.
Yeah. But I'm,
I think that's adequate.
And if necessary, well, I don't know if it'll have much impact, but I guess some kind of intent from the committee could go along and say what we're talking about. Maybe, I don't know if we can get more definitive.
Tell you what I had in mind there, Matt, was not being from the private sector at all, but I do see a big difference between the person who's been running a labor relations program in the private sector and somebody that's worked as a consultant and didn't have to deal with budgets and getting work done through other people.
I think this language is a lot better than the other one, because the personnel thing I had some question about too. If we're talking directly about dealing, for example, with recruitment and, you know, the kinds of things of personnel versus somebody who's an administrator, maybe have underneath them 130 people who I would think if he also had labor relations and that would definitely qualify for, should be able to qualify in there. I don't know if you want him to have directly the day-to-day thing of personnel.
I'd like to think of a corporate officer that was a vice president for labor relations, but not necessarily the individual who is a highly skilled arbitrator, but has never run a program.
Well, probably you don't become an arbitrator unless you participated over a lengthy period of time. And most of these done other things before they became arbitrators. So, I mean, they would have had to have done other things to meet the qualifications to become arbitrators. So.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure that I agree with that, because I guess my problem is I keep looking at the other end of what that employee relations department's going to do. You're talking about 20,000-30,000 applications a year. That kind of management, managing numbers and, you know, offices and things like that, takes a little bit different than just labor relations.
It seems like to me that the way this is constructed is you have the commissioner, he's going to have somebody over personnel, and
yeah,
be a specialist, and somebody in labor that's going to be,
right,
he's going to know something about it.
Exactly.
All. Maybe more heavy-handed in labor relations, but he's going to have somebody run that department, right, or that division. And I'm not, I think full-time is really the same. More definitive than that. We're
You'll have a director of labor relations and a director of personnel. This guy is an administrator.
You may want to say something in here. That was, like I said, it was something that bothered me, that we have something in here about the director of personnel, but we don't about the director of labor relations. And we may want to specify that position in here and then put something on that position directly in terms of labor relations.
90% of the time, that's the guy we'd be dealing with. Probably the bargaining table and some of the heavier arbitrations, the top man, the commissioner may be there. I think a negotiation somewhere would be. We don't think it's going to be like trying to stay out all the time. The only time you see him is in the back of the room right now. No, passing him in. We're going to miss you, Pat. Not by far. Isn't everybody shooting at you? It's a little mission. Okay, is there anything else?
How does it read now?
Ready to vote to recommend this
bill? How does it read?
Okay. What I have down is, picking it up on line 14, shall have experience in both personnel administration and labor relations, either in the public or private sector, period. The commissioner shall have a total of at least 5 years full-time experience.
You said and labor relations.
Right.
In those fields or in those areas, or is that unnecessary language?
I think it's unnecessary, but that kind of a technical change can be made by the revisor.
But the word such in there would take care of such a thing.
Well, They won't let us put that word in.
They won't?
No, I'm serious.
We use that extensively.
They always.
What's this?
Revised.
Such as an O.
At least 5 years.
So 5 years.
Maybe it's an overreaction, maybe to the legalese that you find in a lot of state laws, which a lot of where for.
It's 5 years.
The above, you know.
If it could be done, if that were qualified to the job as commissioner, you might think that that work was.
Well, are we ready to vote on this? Any other comments, suggestions?
Do we need to find a person or administration?
We're playing those fields. We're playing those fields. Commissioner Shelley has a total of at least 5 years full-time experience in those fields. Make it clear.
In those fruitful fields.
Rectified?
That's only if they come from the side of labor that is approved to have. Unless they give for it too, I guess.
Well, then, let's see, do we have a motion?
I make a motion that we.
Can you wait a minute? What about my issue about defining the director?
Are we gonna take the issues?
Oh, you're gonna deal just with this section, or are you talking about the whole bill?
No, I was getting ahead of you. You wanna talk about that some more, let's do it.
Yeah, I would like to include a section where we've got this, we say, what page is that? We define the director personnel. I think we ought to also define then the director of labor relations and say what experience.
Three-year experience.
And then what about EEO director?
They don't need any. They don't need any experience.
Just be permanent. That's all that's required.
All they have.
They can do the job.
Now that Jared's here, I would say it.
I don't know. I do think that, you know, we may be requiring more experience for the commissioner than you can wind up with a director who has no experience in labor relations, and that's really the day-to-day person.
We might want to add on the equal employment that we waive any of the minimum requirements.
We can.
Right. Good point. Leave that alone, job too.
Where's this section, John? Do you want to change?
Well, I don't want to change. I don't know, let's see, it would be, it would come after section 39-25-040.
Line 4, line, page 4, line 13 is where the director of personnel is addressed.
Do you want to add another section following that?
Director of labor relations. And just put the minimum qualifications, same kind of thing.
Similar section as that, except with respect to labor relations. Okay, I think maybe it could be left to the.
Sure.
The draftsman to fill that in.
As long as we get a feel that we want to have the experience thing of labor relations.
Sure.
How much do you want to retire?
Three years.
3 years, yeah, I think that's.
And they want to sort out what the duties and responsibilities imposed by this chapter are. Because you have both them reading the same, and which one has the authority to do what, discuss in what area? All of the authorities are spoken to in one chapter.
One section.
Say the same thing here.
You can do that, or you can leave the commissioner the obligation to do that.
Should that part?
That person's responsible for it.
Right.
Yeah, but it says the duties and responsibilities imposed by this chapter, and the duties are in the beginning. Minister statewide personnel program represent the state of the board.
No. This chapter refers to 39-25, which is being amended. And so the director of personnel has the responsibility for administering 39-25.
Right. I'm saying, it says for the execution of duties and responsibilities imposed by this chapter.
the commissioner is 4420.
Oh, okay. You're right.
So, can't.
Where are those in there already?
This is an existing statute.
Yeah, okay.
And the change was because of the Department of Administration being taken out and Labor Relations put in. So you would need to give some definition to the Labor Relations Director.
In terms of duties.
In terms of duties. Which is one of the reasons we decided not to do it.
Yeah, well, I just think it's dangerous not to do it, because then we may wind up with someone with no experience in labor relations, and we're right back where we started.
We can specify experience without specifying duties and responsibilities if you prefer, and leave that to the commissioner to delegate.
You got it here with the commissioner already to a degree, as far as the things you do, grievances.
And responsible to the commissioner of the FOIA.
Administering day-to-day operations, collective bargaining agreement.
And not, and leave those to be delegated as are obvious, but as you may not want to specify in statute.
If you get the wrong kind of commissioner, you delegate that to safety, safety to labor. Okay, is there any objection to including a section of that effect? Okay, before we vote, we have Dave Stanley here on the office of the CEO. Would you like to give us any testimony on this before we take it to a vote, or do you have any comments?
I really don't have any comments. I just want to review the bill.
Or generally, that you think we ought to hear before we vote on this?
I am kind of questioning why you would be defining duties of all the directors for how long you would be doing.
It was an oversight.
Watch yourself, Ken.
I think I can explain why that occurred, because I think that the genesis of the bill had to do with the problems of the dichotomy in the work in the Division of Personnel. I don't think there was any intention to slight employment opportunities to the
Division.
You gotta take your sock off.
Just add what you said. Well, it might be interesting to hear from your division what feel
should be,
should be included, if you would like to have it spelled out and if you think it should be included.
Yeah, I have no objections at all at spelling it out. My intent was not to exclude them.
I think probably the reason that it's not in there, if I can speak to subject you have for Jim, we were afraid of doing that.
Right.
An area that we didn't
pull in,
so we didn't want to build a hedge around it and then have
that's the language.
People come and say, well, what do you mean? We do a lot more than those three things that you indicated there. So I think what Jim tried to do is just, you know, lift it from the Department of Administration and put it in here and not perturb it. But for my own part, I certainly wouldn't have any objection to including whatever language the Division of EDO would like, you know, within reasonable boundaries in the definition of responsibilities or requirements for the director or what have
you. Yes, sir.
Right now,
about
a minute and a half. There you are. We're about to vote.
I don't think, you know, I can't speak.
It could certainly. I just want to point this out. This bill hasn't even made it to the full commission yet, and it will have far to go even after that. And it seems like something that's of a relatively non-controversial nature like that could certainly be easily inserted. So it's not like the door is about to be closed on that or anything. So,
I just wondered if Dave would like to any extent comment on this entire concept here that we had before in this group discussed to some extent the idea of having to deal together with personnel. Do you have any reaction to that?
Well, I think under our current direction, the director and the CEO staff feels that a close working relationship with the personnel function is necessary to fulfill our duties. I know in the past, I think our feeling is that we don't, because of the way we are defining our function, is assisting the state in getting the legal practices going. We're not an enforcement agency. And we don't want to put ourselves in such a position that we're viewed as authoritarians.
Would you look at being located in this new Department of Employment Relations advantageous from that point?
If personnel would be my personal opinion. I don't know if I can speak from a personal
sure. Okay.
Oh, Ken, yeah. I might offer that if the committee is coming out with this kind of a document, in the form that it's in now, we can certainly run it by the Human Rights Commission. I think that's, one of your concerns is that the commission has gone on record to the governor through a letter from the chairman of the commission to the governor. And if the commission could look at this document, perhaps they could relieve you of any problem that you might see with the Human Rights Commission.
Well, from my own point of view, I don't see a particular problem there.
I don't either, and I think I expressed that the last subcommittee meeting that I attended, but I can't speak for our commissioners, but I think
am I interpreting you right, though, that you don't see any hang-up about going ahead and moving this bill out to the main committee?
No, I think it would be advantageous to get it moved.
I was just going to say that if there's any problem in this group or in the main committee, or that we can foresee later on for having included EPO in here, I would think it would be to everyone's advantage to get it out,
right.
Take it out of there and move the bill. I personally believe it should be here, and I believe that I've always believed that. There's no conflict that it can't be overcome. And it makes for a better working program for all factions. But if there is probability or a serious possibility of a delay or this thing not passing because of that, then I would think much to your advantage to just take EPO out of it and leave it where it is or something.
Well, I haven't heard of any problems along those lines, but it could certainly, that could be done at any point, just as any of a myriad number of other changes
might
be made.
Really important. This is the only one.
Okay, John?
No, I'm just saying, I think it belongs here.
Okay.
The only other thing I've heard suggestion is the governor's office. My understanding is the governor's office doesn't want anything more. In fact, they're going to try to dump out a lot of the things they have. So I think we're moving in the right direction no matter what. It belongs
like
there.
To me, if they want to enforce good employment practices in that area, that's the best place to write to this department to do it.
The commissioner's got to know that stuff, or how's he going to do it? You can't go from the governor's office and try to get that done. That doesn't work.
Well, then let's say, can I have a motion that we recommend to the full commission that this bill be recommended to the legislature by the full commission?
You might want to look at, before you do, just to see the language we would put in section 16 of the bill, which is on page 6, line 8. That refers to the delegation of authority to personnel functions, line 8, in the various departments.
What page are you talking about?
Page 6, line 8. That provision, I think, I haven't read this, but when Jim and I talked about it, I think was modeled after Minnesota, maybe.
I'm not sure. I suggested some
Minnesota or Wisconsin
one. Subsection A of 3925.183 is the one that sets up personnel officers employed in the separate departments. We haven't touched that, so we're leaving those in existence.
I believe this is Minnesota type language here. Right there, that's what we want to do.
Well, we got a motion. I'll second.
Well, let's see then. Let me just ask it this way. Is there any objection? You ready to vote?
I'm voting.
Oh,
it's my right to vote too.
Is there any objection to that recommendation to the full commission? Okay, hearing no objection, we've got it.
Yeah, and I do along with Dan, I'd like to report to the full commission that it was a unanimous recommendation.
Okay. I've got noted in the Canada report.
Got that.
Let's see, we don't really have an official agenda, but one of the other drafts that I was asked to prepare at the last Merit System Collective Bargaining Subcommittee meeting was the one that I distributed, entitled "An Act Relating to the State Merit System and Collective Bargaining," which would provide for, I guess, one, provide for a bargainable merit system.
Yep, unanimously. Can we get more copies of that?
Yeah.
And we need some down here.
I think I already got them.
Maybe send a few of them.
Reasonable.
Is this it, the hiring?
Nope, it's called "Merit System and Collective Bargaining."
"An Act Relating to the State Merit System and Collective Bargaining."
Nope. Did you get one of those?
Yeah.
You must have pulled mine on there.
I did get that one, and I'll find the other.
There you go.
Oh, four still?
You might.
I think we had our stacks.
Okay, here's another.
Co-joined here when it happened. Oh, man, look.
Yeah, I did pick yours.
I guess I might make maybe just a brief comment on it. It's pretty self-explanatory, Bill, but section one, the intent section, simply establishes the intent that there be a merit system and that it be based on merit principles so that best qualified people will be employed, et cetera. I didn't get any more specific than that for a good number of reasons, not the least of which is that I didn't want to cut across the different kinds of provisions. This will certainly apply to all of the classified service. That includes both APEA and Local 71. So the merit system that's prescribed here, the standards at least, would need to apply to both of those units, which would indicate that we'd stay away from any kind of language about competitive exams or registers or any of that sort of thing. I also felt that was inappropriate here. We get down to section two, and that simply exempts those classified and partially exempt people from the chapter who are covered under collective bargaining agreements. Section three set standards for the collective bargaining agreement. A says that they shall contain provisions. Subsection A on line 23 says that they shall contain provisions for a merit system. Subsection B is simply a savings clause that says that provisions that are similar to those that are contained in the existing contracts. It says that if it's not in compliance with federal requirements for funds, then it shall be renegotiated. Now, I took that line with that particular provision. That could either be, I guess it could be strengthened somewhat. I doubt that you would want to weaken it. You could strengthen it and simply require, if you wanted to, make the requirement more specific and require that it conform with federal requirement, period, whether or not it jeopardized funds. As I understand it now, the entire system does comply, including those parts of the system which are not into those federal programs.
The only way we're getting a determination on whether there's a jeopardy is when somebody questions the federal funding, otherwise the question is not going to come up at all.
Well, it It could conceivably, though, in the future. So I just draw that to your attention without any particular recommendation on that.
Just on the area of the federal funding, I think the guy from the Federal Civil Service talked to us about the state of Washington and the problems they had. And I think he also said that his knowledge, he's never known of a program that's been cut in the United States anywhere. I know in Washington they had some real knockdown battles at the university over the thing. They were going to hold HEW funds. I just think that's a worthless threat for the feds. I've never seen them withhold that, withhold those funds.
Chicago was much money that they could have been more easy over there.
Probably was.
Quite a while for the county government.
Is there? I don't think they've ever, to my knowledge, gone in and actually cut funds out for those kinds of problems. They sure said they'd do it.
Yeah.
Threatened it and wrote them a letter and said they would, but I don't know.
Well, I think two things about that. One is that times can change, and the other is that it constitutes a paper suggestion even in the meantime,
yeah.
Even if the feds were not really enforcing it. So it's fairly straightforward, Bill. Mm-hmm.
Does that need to be addressed anywhere here? Or?
No, I think if we don't want to do it, we won't do it.
And then they will adopt, they will suggest parts to your contract.
Well, it'll be just subject to the power of the two parties that are bargaining as to what's bargained. So I would like to just see it stay the way it is.
Any other comments or discussion?
Let me ask you to come here in a second on this last sentence.
Uh-huh.
Our system should be based on American principles so that the person best qualified to form the state be employed as an effective person encouraged to offer the state.
That's just existing language out of 3925.
I like to say some one among the most qualified, so I guess that means it.
I think that still leaves you in.
Yeah, I just don't want to see this.
This
the negotiations and say, well, now you got to do this and that.
No, we'll tell you.
Baseball, yes. It's like the time we went in and came out of your book contribution.
That is existing.
Okay. This question is all.
Well, let me put it this way. Does anybody support this? Or the idea of roughly like that?
Yeah. You see, it's showing.
Okay. Well, then it appears that we're not wasting our time entirely.
Not entirely.
Okay.
This
not getting much done, but we're wasting our time.
Various sections of statutes, in 2340 calls for a merit system,
okay.
And so really all this is saying is...
Leave all the contracts off by the state and the agreements. In the Constitution, so it's well covered. I don't think it's infringing on anybody's rights. If it comes out that it is, then we can only do something about it before it gets become law. I don't want to see management rights in here. I don't see it, so I got it.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Help. clear, so for moving on, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that this committee recommend to the commission that they transmit this proposed bill to the legislature.
Any discussion on that motion, or are you ready to vote? Is anyone opposed to that?
I just have a question. Why, you know, as I look over this, you know, this bill kind of grew out of Pat and my back and forth about we were going to negotiate a merit system and all these aspects that we left in personnel rules. So why deal with this? Okay, all this bill says is what. It doesn't really say anything. It's already 2340 already says there shall be this and shall be based on merit principles.
Well,
and so all this is saying is the same thing again. So
no, this exempts all people covered under collective bargaining from 3925. Let me give you one example. If the bill governing temporary hire passed, some sections of that are in 3925, I think most of them. If both of these bills passed, the bill concerning temporary hire would not apply to people in collective bargaining.
Oh, 3925, when it says this chapter in the rules,
that's right,
are applying to persons other than covered by collective bargaining. So then all the other rules applicable are going to have to be.
That's right. So that's it would have some effect, particularly insofar as later sections in 3925 are concerned.
All right, I'm ready to vote.
Any other comments before we vote? Okay, is anyone opposed? Well, we have unanimous consent. Again.
I don't understand. I don't feel sufficiently instructed in what you just said. If I hate to be take up your time. Could you explain to me? You said that the bill that we talked about this morning, the temporary bill, is in the section of the statute which this does not then touch.
The primary purpose of this bill, the one under discussion right now, or the one we just voted on, is to exempt all those people covered under collective bargaining agreements from Personnel Act and the personnel rules. They're totally exempted from that chapter. It does one further thing and requires that the collective bargaining agreements themselves shall contain provisions for a merit system. It might be exactly the same kind of merit system that's outlined in 3925, or it might be quite different from that. But 3925 itself wouldn't have any legal force as far as those people covered under collective bargaining agreements are concerned. The bill on temporary hire that we passed out, or that the other subcommittee passed out this morning, is in 3925, and so people under collective bargaining would be specifically excluded from the provisions of that bill. If their contract adopted that as part of the contract, then it would be enforced. But it would be up to the two parties at the bargaining table to determine whether or not those provisions of 3925 apply. But none of them would automatically, right?
In other words, this bill nullifies our whole discussion on the Rule 5 and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Basically, we leave it up to the unions to change the rule of thumb.
Well,
That's not true.
What our discussion led to was a recommendation to the director of personnel or commissioner of personnel, whichever it turns out to be, to pursue that course, and that would still be a recommendation to him. To the extent that the unions wouldn't disagree with that, it's an accomplished fact.
But it would be the subject of bargaining on the part of the administration and the various employee groups.
I think what you've done then, maybe, if I understand the thrust of this bill, if an employee is a member of APEA, but for the provisions of the APEA contract don't cover that particular employee situation, that employee situation is not necessarily covered by the personnel rules because it's the position that's been exempted, not specific problems that are addressed. Right?
That's right. It provides
it provides
that whatever merit system applies to people under collective bargaining contract must be adopted in that contract.
Right. So you're either in one system or in the other, but not the way it is presently.
That's right. That's right.
I understand. On your effective date, that brought something.
Too late. You can always move for reconsideration.
I move for reconsideration if I haven't voted, but I'm not sure that I do.
And you'll call us,
Dusty. Well, I would like to move for reconsideration.
Okay, well,
you can. How can you move for reconsideration after the vote? You voted 5 minutes ago. You move immediately after the vote for reconsideration.
Well, I have a question that the commission.
We're in the middle of an impromptu break here, so why don't we go ahead and make it official for five minutes. Back on the table. Okay, Tana, you said that you were content to let that previous vote stand and take it up to the full commission and go ahead and discuss some of the ramifications there. Does anyone else feel differently?
He's eating
sandwiches. You got two sandwiches?
I haven't got nothing to eat today.
Well, let me put it this way.
I remove my objection.
Is there any other business that this subcommittee should address before the full committee meeting?
I just have a question, and it's one of the issues that Fairbanks Group presented to us. I don't know if this committee or not, but anyway, it deals with, and I think it was one of the questions that Kerry pointed out, and that's the problem under the Collective Bargaining Act of the school employees, who are exempted from the Act by definition of employee, but their employer is in the Act. Is that not?
That's one of the issues.
I don't know if we want to address it today, but certainly.
I did get copies of the bill that you asked. Yes, or which?
Yeah, this is the one that takes care of
that question
right here.
Non-certificated school district employees.
Right, and it says a couple things. Try too bad. It's a good bill, I think.
Why is that coming up here?
It came before our commission, or you were in Fairbanks. You weren't the last merit system collective bargaining meeting, I don't think, that we had. And this is where I find myself contradicting many things I've said, where I said we ought to stay on collective bargaining. But here, I think for the commission, if they can't draft legislation, I'd at least recommend something to clean up that act. And the people came before us and testified. And it was one of the issues that was identified as something to discuss.
I guess we're open for discussion on that subject. Pat?
Mr. Chairman, feel that this is contrary to the charge of this commission, that our purpose in convening is to help clean up the state's merit system. We're talking here about employees not of the state at all. This legislation addresses people not in the state system, over which our division has no control, influence, or anything else. It's just an extraneous subject, something outside of our purview that someone wants that considered. It's not the purpose of the Blue Ribbon panel at all.
I think I would tend to agree with that. Does anybody else have any comment or opinion?
Agree.
Next time you try that, that's right. The guys want this bill addressed. They're surrounding the building.
Well, it's being addressed. We have no, the only reason, Mr. Chairman, I brought it up is because some people testified to it, an issue that was pointed out that we ought to talk about to some degree. I think it would be helpful if the commission came in support of it, but it's beyond their responsibility, that's fine. We'll try to do it anyway.
Well, that's certainly possible. Would you like to make a motion that would support this?
I certainly would.
I'm not going to rule that out of order.
The motion that the commission go on record, this committee asked the commission to go on record in support of this piece of legislation.
Is there any discussion of that motion? Beyond what we've already heard? All right, is there any objection to the subcommittee supporting this or recommending that the full committee support it? Okay. Then I think we should see all those in favor of recommending that the full committee support this.
And who can vote?
Well, Laura,
you both had hands up. I just wanted to be sure.
I don't think I'm a member of this, but somebody told me I was.
Yes, you are.
Am I a member of all three? Are you sure?
You got added.
Hey, if we pass this bill, that'll probably quit.
That would be entertaining on the table.
That won't get it. All those in favor? Opposed?
Four.
Three in favor, four opposed. Any other business before we adjourn this subcommittee meeting? We stand adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, did a hell of a job.
Good job.